Welcome back to another amazing interview. I have with me on the virtual Medicine of Mindset stage, Dr. Kieran Dunstan. And I'm going to introduce her instead of like reading an official bio. We're going to get to know her through the interview. But I want to let you know that we connected a couple of months ago, and it was kind of magic. You know, when you get onto Zoom and you meet someone and you're like, yes, I think I'm one of her people and she is one of my people. And we've chatted a few times, and this woman is amazing. She is an OBGYN and she is an expert in functional medicine. And we're gonna have an amazing conversation today. And you're gonna get to learn a little bit about her magic, the magic she brings to this planet in how she educates and inspires the women who get drawn into her magnetic energy to become a part of her community. So Dr. Kieran, thank you so much for being here today. I want you to start by telling us a little bit about your story. I mean, you are an OBGYN, and help us understand a bit about your own journey and what this is going to be beautifully positioned in the mindset. What helped you to look outside of your medical expertise to start your own healing journey that changed your life? Why don't we start there?
Sure. Thank you for having me, first off, and thank you for your kind words. Hi, everybody. So I'm a traditionally trained OBGYN. I've delivered thousands of babies. I've done pap smears, hysterectomies, did it for many, many years. But my own health suffered. And at one point, I weighed 243 pounds. I had chronic fatigue. I had something called fibromyalgia, which is pain in the body on a daily basis that interferes with your daily activities. I had depression and anxiety so severe, I was on 5 prescription medications. I had gastritis. I had irritable bowel. So I didn't know if I was going to go once in a day, 7 times in a day or not, but every 7 days. I looked and felt 20 years older than I was, and I was miserable. And I had tried everything I knew as a board certified OBGYN to figure out what was wrong. I had run test after test. I had to have a thyroid problem, right? I'm overweight and tired. I'm constipated. I'm cold and I'm losing my hair, right? These are the top symptoms, but the thyroid test would all come back normal. I would go to my doctor. She would run tests. They'd all come back normal. She would tell me, it's your fault. You just eat too much and don't move enough, right? Probably a lot of women listening have heard that. And I was really demoralized. And I got to this place where I thought, you know, if this is what life is going to be, I don't even want to live it. It was that miserable. And I know there are a lot of women out there watching who are at that place. And I didn't have a choice, though. I was actually the breadwinner in my family. And it was actually a patient who taught me about a different way. And, you know, one of the things we're talking about mindset, Jana, is I've always been very open-minded. And I attribute that to very open-minded parents who I raised me in New York City. I grew up around a large variety of people, like United Nations of people. I was always open to different diets and cultures and languages and music. So I think that I was bred in a very open-minded place. So even though I had this training, when I knew that I wanted to help and work with women, I looked around and I said, well, how can I help them the most? What education is going to give me the biggest skill set to help them. And that's why I picked getting my medical doctorate. So I really believed that I knew everything about women's health. And see, this is where the mindset comes in, because if you believe you know everything about a topic, you will never learn the truth about it, because your mind is closed to learning new things. And I was there for a long time, but when I really hit rock bottom and I thought, you know, there has to be another way. I know I'm supposed to know everything there is to know about women's health and healing, but this just can't be, because I would look around and I would see other women in their 40s and 50s and 80s thriving, right? Great weight, great hair, great sex drive, not on all these medications. And so I said, it's not all of us. So I started questioning. This is the other thing that's so important about mindset, is question everything, right? I started questioning, how is it possible that it's not true for all of us. It's not just an age thing, right? If diets work, they work for all of us. They don't. So I started thinking, I don't know everything. And so I became teachable. That's what I call the teachable place. When you realize, I don't know everything about helping women heal, because look at me. And then it was actually a patient with the usual, what I call midlife metabolic mayhem, right? That's the 60 plus complaints that women starting at 35, 40 and over have, from weight gain, fatigue, waking up in the middle of the night, hair loss, low libido, depression, anxiety, right? You guys know what I'm talking about because you're experiencing it if you're a woman over 40. So she was having the usual midlife mayhem. I would give her a fistful of prescriptions, you know, birth control because she had crazy crime scene, irregular periods, antidepressant because she didn't feel like herself. I gave her something to help her sleep because she was waking up. So she leaves with this fistful of prescription. It never restored her to vitality, right? She never came back and said, hey, Dr. Kieran, those pills you gave me, amazing. I feel better than I did when I was 20. It never happens. And so she went away for about a year. She came back for her annual exam. And I saw her at the end of the hall and I was like, oh my gosh, she looked like a new woman. Her hair was full. She was having hair loss before. She was smiling. The light was back on in her eyes. She had lost 30 pounds, which was all she needed to lose. And she had this pep in her step. And I couldn't wait to get her in a room and find out what she did. Turns out she went to a doctor in another town who did tests I never did on her because I didn't know about them, and did treatments I never prescribed her because I didn't know about them. Here I am, board certified MD, in the United States of America. I'm supposed to know more about women's health than anyone else. And she had to go to this person and get these tests and treatments. So anyway, that started my 7-year journey to becoming fellowship trained in anti-aging, metabolic and functional medicine, and learning the truth about women's health. I got a bigger toolbox, right? Previously, I had this teeny little toolbox of drugs and surgery, steroids, antibiotics, pills, drug, surgery. And I got this ginormous toolbox of looking at women's hormone levels and, you know, where they are on what I call the menopause spectrum or the hormonal spectrum, which we can talk about, and adjusting that. And I tell you what, I started using it on myself and I've never looked back since. That was probably 14 years ago. And I became fellowship trained, and within 2 years I had lost 100 pounds. I was off all prescription medications except natural hormones. I looked and felt better than when I was 20. People stopped recognizing me in the mall. They would walk right by me and then they get 10 feet and they go, oh my gosh, Kieran, is that you? I didn't even recognize you. And then of course, all my patients who were women at midlife with metabolic mayhem started saying, what are you doing? Because we want that. So I started doing it with them. But I attribute this because I have to tell you, Jenna, so there was a doctor in my town who did this special type of medicine probably a decade before this happened. And do you know that we doctors used to call him a quack and talk about him behind his back and say he did a bunch of nonsense, right? But I call that contempt prior to investigation. We're so close. I tell you what, doctors, and don't tell them I said this, we are the most close-minded people you will ever meet. We think we know everything. When we get that certificate on the wall, I'm board certified, US trained doctor, I know everything. You can't tell us shit, right? And I'm sorry, I'm just telling you like it is. And so we were so arrogant and obnoxious, and we talked about this guy. Little did I know that if I had not had contempt prior to investigation and I had had an open mind, I guess I hadn't been beaten against the rock enough yet. But after I got beaten against the rock repeatedly, and I was like, okay, I don't even want to live, I became teachable. If you had told me eat a cup of dirt a day, I would have done it. So anyway, open-mindedness, I had to become teachable and open-minded. And that's true for anything. So women watching, whether you're dealing with a health problem, maybe you've got a pelvic floor problem Jana's helping you with, maybe you've got a relationship problem, maybe you've got a money problem. The thing is that we're so insane as humans. We think that more effort is always the answer. And there's this great book called, U Squared. I love it. I highly recommend it. It's by a business guru. And it's about this fly who's trying to, he's stuck in this room and he can't get out of the room. And what does the fly do? He just keeps trying to buzz harder and harder against the window. And like, I'm going to get out of here. Across the room, the door is open. All he had to do was realize and open his mind that there's another way and just turn and go out the door that's open. But we humans are always like, no, apply greater pressure, apply greater effort in the same way. Like women, I see this all the time with hormone problems, right? If you have any health problem over 40 as a woman, it is in part hormone related. Some things are completely about your hormones. Other things are not completely about your hormones, but your hormones have a hand in everything that plagues you as a woman over 40. It's just a fact. We can talk about that. And what do? We just keep going to more doctors. We just completely keep planning, or we keep watching more webinars and taking more supplements. I heard this supplement's good. What do? We go to Dr. Google, what should I do? Because I wake up in the middle of the night drenched in sweat. Or we go to our girlfriends at the book club and we're like, what vitamins do you take? What supplements do you take? Like, or we go to the health food store and we ask the high school grade educated, not that that's bad, okay? But they are not trained in this. And we ask them, well, what supplements should I take? I want to detox, right? So we keep doing the same and same things. And what happens? We don't get anywhere. And then we just say, oh, I guess my life is just going to suck for the rest of my life. And we give up. And this is why the majority of us are overweight or obese by the time we hit menopause. By the time we're 60, it's 75% of us. 75%. This is why half of us are on 5 or more medications by the age of 50. And why we live this chronic disease state until we die, right? And we can just, there's so much more available for us. So back to the mindset that helped me change. You're going to meet, there's so many doctors in this world and they will keep doing the same thing they're trained, right? And that's what they're trained to do. But the ones who have health problems themselves or family members with health problems that aren't answered by mainstream medicine, they will go look elsewhere like I did, and they'll find answers that can help millions of people live better lives. And so I had to become teachable. I guess I had to have, it's been said, Michael Beckwith says, your pain will push you until your pleasure pulls you, right? Mm-hmm. And so once you find the answers, your pain keeps pushing you, and then you get harnessed. So anyway, that's a little about my story.
Okay, so First of all, if you're watching this, can you see how I tried to curate this week-long summit for everyone here with just, you know, think about the teacher in Charlie Brown, like the blah, 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 blah. No. Like, look at this woman. Her personality is larger than life. She's, you know, she's living what she learned. And that's really what this week's summit is all about. For those of you who are feeling stuck, who maybe are feeling like I've tried everything and nothing is working, I'm going to tell you that it is not, there are no coincidences in this world. You are here for an answered prayer. You're here on purpose with a purpose. And the fact that you're watching this chat between Dr. Kieran and I is not just a fluke. So, you know, absorb this woman's brilliance, because what I heard you say, Dr. Kieran, besides all the beauty of being teachable and, you know, kind of surrendering, is being humbled, you know, being let yourself be the student. And so I want to frame this next question this way. There are most likely women, and I've been, you know, in that space where it's not the, maybe not the humbling part, but the confidence part. Like, I, you know, can I do this? Or because I've tried everything and I've got this pattern of, you know, I put my shoes by the door on January 1st because this is going to be my year. I'm going to get out and walk every day. I'm going to, you know, completely change my diet. And then by the middle of January, we're like, well, shoot, your dad goes again. Like, what made me think I could do this? I do this every, how do you help to, what do you tell those women watching that are like, I don't know if I can do this?
Yeah. So the first thing that I start with women when I work with them is, if you don't believe you can, then you can't. You know, it's been said that whether you believe that you can or you believe that you can't, you're right. You get to be right. And for most of us, our beliefs are a prison that we live in inside our minds and our bodies, because they were, and so we're born with this beautiful hardware, right? This human hardware and biology and physiology and chemistry of our human body. And then we have in software installed into us for the first 7 years of our life. We are in a hypnotic state. Our brainwave state is a hypnotic state. Everything that is told to us and how we are treated, we take in and we go, yes, yes. So if you're disregarded in any way when you're a child, or disrespected and not nurtured and loved, and your needs and wants aren't met, and you're not developed in a positive way, which unfortunately 97% of us have what I call less than sensitive parenting, just partly by the nature of our society, right? Where most of us have two parents that work outside the home, we may be at daycare, right? So it happens. We're in this hypnotic state. So we're learning and having software installed that tells us what to believe is possible for us. So what are some of the programs that we're running? One, my healthcare comes from the doctor. The doctor is the expert on my health. I go to the doctor's office to be told what's wrong with me. I don't have any innate knowledge or understanding about my body. These are very toxic beliefs. We also learn my parents or my job pays for my health insurance, that pays for my health care. We are told that health care is going for your annual exam at your gynecologist and getting a pap smear every year and getting your boobs smashed in an x-ray machine and getting blood drawn. Do we really understand what any of that means or why we're doing it or if it's really important or not? No, but we are socialized to believe these things. Just like we're socialized to believe in the US, we drive on the left side of the road. Well, they don't do that everywhere. We're socialized that the US dollar is the currency, so we go anywhere else. And we consider that weird money. And we might even say in a foreign country, can I use real money? Which is an insult. So all this to say that we are hypnotized, and then we grow up as adults and we live out the programming that we have been taught, and we never question it. And we're living in these prisons and we don't believe it's possible. We think that it's true that as you get old, you're going to deteriorate, you're going to be tired, you're not going to sleep as well, your hair is going to fall out, you're going to have no sex drive, and you're just going to look and feel old. We believe that. But the truth is, the only reason that's true is because we believe it. And I know there's some people going, that's not true. I can look around and see it. But I promise you that it's a societal belief. So was it Freud who said the id, the ego, and the superego? And then there's Jung who says the collective unconscious, right? So we each have our own conscious mind, we have our subconscious, and then we have the collective unconscious, which is this kind of brain trust, if you will, or consciousness trust that we all live and think in. So there's something called the 100-month monkey syndrome, where, you know, they might see on one island isolated in the Pacific where monkeys, all of a sudden, you know, they're trying to open a coconut and they can't. And then they realize that if they take a rock and smash it between the rocks, they can open the coconut. And we think that evolution then occurs that only that monkey knows, and then he teaches other monkeys. But actually what they found is that on another island, other monkeys at the same time are developing that same technology. And I think I might be calling it wrong. It's something like the 100th monkey phenomenon or something like that. And then all of a sudden, all the monkeys in the world are doing it. So we have this collective unconscious where we have beliefs about aging, about what's going to happen. And we believe that we're going to get old and decrepit. And it's a worldwide global belief, but it's actually not what's possible. And now I forget your original question, Jana. So
I just wanted to know how, you know, for those women that felt like I don't have the confidence or I've played this over in my mind before, you know, or in my I've played this in my life 10 times. Why would the ending of the story be different this time?
So it can be different. So most of you don't realize that everything is created twice. But if you think about it, everything is created twice. The chair you're sitting on, someone had to think up, I want to make a chair for someone to sit on. Do I want to make it out of metal, wood? Do I want a cushion or not? What color do I want it to be? What height, width, right? And then they had to create it in reality. Everything is created in here first and then out in the world. And your life and your health are no different. Your physical body is just a reflection of your beliefs, believe it or not. If you have physical ailments, it's because of your beliefs. So in order to change anything externally, you have to change the belief of what's possible first. You have to create it in your mind. So I like to start everyone with visioning. It's a process where you close your eyes, you might get in a meditative state, you can, you know, pick many of the great meditations on YouTube that are just music I like, and you just start visioning what's possible for you. What would you love? You ask yourself, what would you love? Now, I've worked with some women and they say, no one's asked me that in 30 years, Karen. I don't even know. Well, if you hadn't lifted your arm over your head in 30 years, and I said, lift your arm, you'd be like, I can't, right? But if you did slowly, then you'd be able to lift your arm. So it's just like that. If you've been living for others, which is so true for so many women, if you've been living just a perfunctory, a transactional life, I go to work for my employer, I do a job I don't love, I get money in exchange so I can survive, and you're living what most people live, which is a survival existence, you haven't dreamed. Right? You probably told yourself so many times, wow, I'd really love to travel the world and go to Africa. I can't do that because, and you've got a whole list of reasons. But the real reason is because you don't believe that you can do that. And you have lost your imagination muscle. So imagination is a God-given capacity to create your life. You know, when they came up with the internet, Al Gore, or some people argue with someone else anyway, I'll say Al Gore, he had this idea, people being connected by little TVs all over the world with information. And then he believed, wow, that could be possible. And then he started putting it into action. So it's the same for you in your life. So if you believe all you can ever have is what you've got, that's all you will ever have. But if you can open your mind to the possibility that you can have something bigger, better, more satisfying for you, then that's what's possible. So I love that visioning activity. And I usually have women write like in four different categories for their health first. And you write it out as if it's already happened in the first person with gratitude and sensory detail. I am so happy and grateful now that I weigh 140 pounds and I'm rocking my size 4 jeans. I go to the book club and all my friends say how skinny I look. What you hear, that's sensory. And they're serving Cinnabons and I don't even want one, right? What you smell and how you feel. And I feel so confident doing all the things. Now, I'm not saying for a minute that you need to weigh 140 pounds and wear size 4 jeans to be confident, right? You can rock your size 22 jeans and be confident and feel good about yourself. So you write it in sensory detail, and then you can do the same for relationships. You can do for money, career, creativity, fun, finances, right? All the things. And I love for people to do a vision board, Jana. Do you like vision boards?
I love vision boards.
And I'm like old school. I've done them on the computer, but I like to get the stack of old magazines and the poster board and the glue stick and the scissors. And I go through all the magazines and I pick out all the images and words that speak to me of my vision of where I'm going. And then I poster them up and I put my vision board up. And I tell you, when I've done that, and then sometimes, you know, like one in particular I had years ago and it got shoved away in a closet after a while. I usually like to spend time with it. So if you make one, spend time with it every day. And then years later, I found it and everything on that vision board had come true. So powerful, because also what you need to realize is we don't think in words. We think in pictures. If I say, what color is your front door? You're not going through an encyclopedia looking for the word green. You're picturing your front door. It's green. So your mind thinks in pictures and also stories. That's why we love stories. We're biologically programmed to receive pictures and stories, pictures and stories. That's why TV is so powerful. So this is why the vision board is so powerful. And I've done even what I call a mind movie, where I make a PowerPoint and it alternates words of affirmation of the thing and pictures with music. And it's super powerful. So if you're thinking, you know, I've tried all the things, first off, what I say when it comes to health problems, if you believe that you've tried all the things and you still aren't better, you haven't tried all the things. You've probably been like that fly trying to buzz through the window and you're just going from one mainstream doctor to another mainstream doctor to another one, or to the, we talked about, you know, like to the supplement, and you haven't gotten the person or people, usually it's a team of people you need, who have opened their mind and gotten a huge toolbox who can help guide you. And so, you know, one thing that has served me that I'm gonna invite everybody watching to adopt is never give up. Never give up. It's not over till it's over. And if you still have that problem, whether it's that relationship problem, that health problem, that financial problem, it's because you just haven't found the right opening of mindset and the new opportunity to move in and fix it. You are worth it. That's the other thing I find so many times. One, it's the belief, the prison of beliefs. We don't think it's possible that we live in. But two is there's so much lack of self-worthiness, especially among women. I've even had women literally say to me, I know that, you know, you can help me, or this program will help me, or whatever plan of action I've educated them on. And they'll say, but I don't feel worthy. I'm so used to giving to everybody else. That's who I am. That's what I do. How can I possibly give to myself in this way? And behind that is a whole slew of conditioned beliefs about so many things. And it's that breaks my heart. So you have to believe you're worthy. Who is more worthy than any one of you watching right now? Nobody, right? Like, you have gotten the most precious of gifts to have a human life and be on this planet. You know, there's so many souls clamoring who want a body to come into this world, whatever your beliefs, those are mine. It is a precious gift. Any of you who've given birth to a child or have children know this, or you have people in your life you love, right? They're unique and irreplaceable. You are unique and irreplaceable. But until you see that and you embody that and you feel that and you know that, and you're like, everyone will tell you, I'll die for my spouse. I would die for my kid. Would you die for yourself? Would you love yourself that much? And you know, we give so much platitude to, oh, self-love, right? Like it's a mani-pedi. No, it is not. Self-love is that fierce protector lioness who will take care of herself before she takes care of anyone else, because she knows that their survival requires her survival, not only her survival, but her thriving. So if you feel stuck and you think you've tried everything, one, no, that's not true. Because I say that anyone with an unresolved health problem hasn't asked the right question, right? And it's been said that the quality of your life that you live will be determined by the quality of the questions that you ask. And I forget who said that, but you know, most people who are very successful or innovative, they're not like running out in the street like, I'm gonna make the internet, right? They sit maybe for years with this idea and they talk about it and they think about it and they work on the question, right? If we were going to have this TV-like thing where we can connect all over the world, what would it look like? What would it be like? You know, who would own it? Who would pay for it? How would it work? So they're in the question. And then all of a sudden one day, internet, and you're like, your whole life is transformed. But they spent probably years on the question. You need to do that too, right? We all live for the victory moment in every movie, right? Where you know, Indiana Jones like gets the thing and he gets out of the cave, right? Everybody loves that moment. But all the preparation that went up to that, we can't forget that. So back to this, the prison of your beliefs, you got to get out of that and you got to expand your mind to what's possible. If it's possible, so what I love to do is pick a woman you admire. If it's possible for her, it is every bit as possible for you. And just start knowing that and believing that. So getting out of that prison, understanding that you are thinking from conditioned beliefs, and that if you could learn a belief, you can unlearn a belief. You know, the other, so one of the things that women oftentimes say to me is like, once I educate them about their hormones and what I did for my health and what I've done with thousands of women, they go, the next question they ask is, do you take my insurance? Does my insurance pay for this? And that is like conditioned belief, because we have this belief that our health insurance should pay for that, right? Your health insurance isn't about health. I'm going to turn one thing on here. Sorry. Your health insurance like was developed by the government. Your employers were crying out saying, I have employees who say they're out sick and I need them back at work. So the government said, okay, we'll institute health insurance so you can, they can go to the doctor and you get patched up and get back to work faster. It was never about making you healthy. It was about getting you back to work. But then we think that our health insurance, most countries aren't this way. This is the US. We think that it's supposed to be about getting us healthy. So anyway, that's the next question out of their mouths. But when you hear that, you've got to realize I'm thinking from conditioned beliefs. So you got to get out of that and realize what's possible. Start your visioning, do your vision board, know what's possible, know you're worthy, and just love yourself more than you have loved any other human ever or ever will. And loving yourself is a verb. It's an everyday, every second verb. It is not buying yourself a birthday card or flowers. It's not that. It is setting boundaries, saying no when you mean no and yes when you mean yes. It is nurturing yourself and your dreams, understanding that your needs and wants are as valid as everybody else's, and stand up for yourself.
See, this is why I connected with you and like decided to like hitch my wagon to your cause, because what you've just been saying is very, it parallels what I believe and how I coach the women that I work with, in that, you know, the question really is, it's not this, you know, we think of our lives or making these changes in our lives as these big things that we have to do. And what I tell them, very similar to what you say, is that, you know, one choice, like what choice can my present self make right this second? Well, I can choose, like you just did, to pick up my water bottle, right? That is a choice my current present self is making to nurture my future self. Because when I'm hydrated, my cells can function. I'm not going to, you know, like they're like the snowball rolling downhill. And so we come to think that way, that it's big and it's hard and it takes so much effort. But if you find these moments, and you, if it was a mathematical equation, You take one moment of sipping water. You take another moment of getting in the sunshine. You take another moment of picking up something that was grown on this earth to eat. Add them up, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. All those moments create momentum. And that's when we start to see and feel changes in our life. And so what you're saying, you know, you gave so many pragmatic tools in that last answer, Dr. Kieran, like, you know, writing out, looking at your health, your finances, your relationships, and writing them as you are living what you aspire to live in this moment. Tell me a little bit about, I love how you talked about the imagination muscle, because Wonder Woman is my all-time favorite superhero. And my boys bought me a shirt one year for Mother's Day, and it's a red t-shirt with Wonder Woman on it. Uh-huh. And I always thought in my brain, like, Wonder Woman, right? It's like one, it's the person. And then one day, for some reason, my brain broke those two words up, and it was wonder and woman. I'm a woman who wonders. I want to ask the questions. I want to, you know, I want to kind of buck the trends, and I want to bust the myths. Like, if we don't wonder about our lives, wonder about our health, what, you know, things as simple as, did you know that back in the 1920s, there was a research article published in the European Journal of Social Psychology that said it takes 21 days to build a habit. All right. And then that became like the standard. However, right. Did you also know that that research was misinterpreted? What the research said was it takes between 18 and 176 days to build a habit. 81 days is kind of the middle ground. It could take 21 days, but all of a sudden we thought that was the rule, right? 21 days. So then we're scrolling through our Instagram feeds and there's a 21 day juice cleanse or a 21 day, you know, food camp, right? And we jump in and then on day 22, we're like, well, what the hell? Like what happens on day 22? So talked about was really, you know, dissecting or reverse engineering that mindset that it is possible when we reposition how we think about and love ourselves, how, you know, that self-care is a daily part of our lifestyle. So thank you for offering all of that information. Mm-hmm. I have two final questions for you. In your line of work, mm-hmm. What do you think is not being talked about enough?
Oh my gosh. Women's hormones, right? We talk about women's hormones, doctors, as if it's some little accessory pack, like that black bag you get out once a year to go to that black tie dinner at Christmas from the back of your closet. Like, is this just a little accessory pack that gives us the ability to have babies, but like our whole health is separate? That is not true. It's a lie. We are foundationally, as women, our hormones are the foundation of our health, and they control everything. And if you have any health symptom or problem at almost any age, but definitely over 40, hormones are a part of it. And there's no standard of care in mainstream medicine for testing women's sex hormones and treating them. And if they do, they treat them with artificial chemical synthetic hormones that are dangerous. They don't use biologically identical. This is a whole other conversation. But until women get it, and until doctors get it, that women are foundationally different from men, and that the hormones are the foundation, and that you've got to be checking the levels and tweaking and adjusting them throughout the lifespan for optimal health. Our lifespans will continue to be shorter because that's documented, that the hormonal poverty that we go into starting around 35, 40, which is a slow descent, contributes to a shortened lifespan, and that hormone therapy, natural hormone therapy, is associated with a prolonged life. And hormonal poverty is associated with diseases like dementia and Alzheimer's, heart attack, stroke, cancer, severe infections, greater death from COVID in hormonal poverty. So we do not talk about hormones and women enough. We don't treat it. And I want every woman watching to know that this is something you need to be aware of.
And last thing, I would love for you to invite us into your mind, into your habits, into your rituals. This has been such an inspiring and empowering, you know, 45 minutes. What do you do on a daily basis? What are one or two things, or on a weekly basis, that you do, Dr. Kiran, for, you know, to exercise that imagination muscle, that mindset muscle of yours?
Okay, so number one is I sleep. And you all have got to sleep. I call it the nectar of life. Your day begins the night before when you go to sleep. So if you don't get to bed at an early time and have a nice, quiet, nurturing sleep environment and get that nectar, it's just not going to be good. The other thing is, I have quiet time every morning to myself. I don't grab my phone and start texting and scrolling and doing all that. So it's a protected time, which I might use different ways on different days. And that is determined by, I guess, the third thing that I would share with you is know yourself better than you know anybody else, because then it's only then that you can navigate what you actually do need, so that I can wake up in the morning and go, I need some yoga today. And then I might break out the yoga mat and do some yoga. What kind of yoga do I need? I might need a yin practice. I might need, you know, a vinyasa flow practice. Or maybe I know myself well enough that I wake up and I go, you know what? I'm going to meditate this morning. Now there are people going to tell you, you have to meditate every day, 20 minutes. You got to do yoga every day. Like, they're all regimented about this. And I think it's great maybe to do that for a while till you learn certain behaviors and practices. But then I'm a real believer in this beautiful vehicle that you were given to chauffeur you around this world is always telling you what she needs, if you know how to listen. And then these things can be tools that you can use. But what I see so often is that we women are looking to other women as, what tool do you use? And like, oh, you use a big hammer? I'm going to get a big hammer and I'm going to use a big hammer all the time. Everything doesn't need a big hammer all the time. Everybody, a big hammer is not good for everyone. So that third thing, you know, the quiet time in the morning, and then the third thing of I listen internally. I used to be very externally directed. What does everybody want from me? I got to get up and go to the hospital. What does my family want from me? What do they need from me, right? And now it's totally, what do I need to be centered, to be grounded, to be loving, to be present? And then I do that. So I invite all of you to adopt that.
Okay, tell us before you, because I know there's women that are going to be like Googling you probably right now or during this interview, how do I get in touch? So we're gonna get to that, how women can connect with you. But can you just, can you tell us where you're doing your interview from?
I'm in Tanzania, Arusha, in Tanzania, Africa. Yes, and so this is that listening, you know. I met a woman a few months in last February, and we were talking at lunch, and she was telling me about this incredible adventure she went on. God, I'm gonna cry. And she said, I went and I lived remotely for a year, and I traveled around the world in a different country every year. And I was like, oh my gosh, you can do that? And I knew the minute I heard it, that it was for me. And you have that knowing too, but you've shut her up so many times. She has stopped talking to you. But guess what? If you're breathing, she is not dead. She is still there. And you can turn to her and start to listen to her whenever you choose. You just start getting quiet. You start going and being by yourself in nature and you start listening. So that was, I knew it was for me. It wasn't for me at the time for various logistical reasons, but I knew I was going to do it. And so 2 months ago, I left. And I will be 16 months traveling the world, a different country every month. And practicing what I preach.
Okay, so that then made me get a little teary eyed. And that's what's so amazing about this week, is that we are just opening up our hearts and souls to all of the, you know, the men and women that chose to be a part of this week, and really, really anchor into, or maybe for the first time in their lives, they're hearing these messages that are about going within instead of seeking what's out there or what's the latest, you know, greatest trend that's happening. It is this, you know, what our mind is one of the most, I think, untapped healing mechanisms that we have in our body. And as one of my mentors, I mean, Joseph, he said, you know, breath is our first and last act of life. And somewhere in the middle, we forget how to do it. I feel like what you said about, if you are breathing, she is still there. It's about reconnecting, falling in love again with why we are on this earth. And if that purpose, why am I even here? What am I supposed to? Maybe this story, this chapter of your book is part of a bigger purpose, and you're having to go through the pain and the frustration and the anger and the denial and all those things, so that when you come out on the other side, there is something beautiful and magical, and you can really connect into that. So Dr. Kieran, you, you're spectacular, and I want everyone to be able to get more of you. Can you tell them where, if they want to find out more, or, you know, look at the programs that you offer, where is the best place for them to go?
Well, you can find me on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Kieran Dunstan MD, or my website, Kieran Dunstan MD. I'm going to spell it because it's a little different. So it's KYRINDUNSTONMD, as in medical doctor, .com. And then we've got her hormoneclub.com. That's her, H-E-R, hormoneclub.com, where we have doctors licensed all over the U.S. who provide telemedicine natural hormone for women. And I have the midlifemetabolisminstitute.com, where we do coaching and educational programs for women around their health and these type mindset types of things that we've been talking about.
So good. So good. Thank you for taking the time out of your adventure to inspire us today. Everyone, thank you so much for being here today. We're just going to continue this amazing momentum that we are building throughout this week here on the Medicine of Mindset Summit. We will see you on the next episode.